Hello and welcome. This is Reverend Sandra Algelinas with you once again from the beautiful foothills of the Smoky Mountains, a very special part of western North Carolina located in the southeastern United States. I'm delighted you're joining me again this month. Let's begin. Adventures, Lessons, and Miracles. The Athlone Miracle, or What I Learned from Landing Flat on My Back in a Boat on the Shannon River. Early in the morning, eager to leave our night mooring at Athlone on the River Shannon in Ireland, we began our normal departure process. This bustling city felt too hectic after days of river peace, so we decided to take our 36-foot rental cruiser back through the city's locks we'd nervously navigated only the day before. Captain Bill started up the engine to let it warm up as I, the first mate, took my post at the stern to cast off from the boat next to us where we'd double parked the night before. Suddenly, I realized untying from a boat was very different than casting off from a pier. Because of the height differences of the two boats, I couldn't reach the neighboring boat, untie us, and then get back to our boat. With the engine rumbling and the doors closed between me and Bill, I panicked. Instead of doing the smart thing and yelling for help, who cares who I woke up? I continued to struggle to find a way to unhitch us. Thankfully, before I did something desperate, Bill, who was actually casting off at the boat, realized I was in trouble. Leaving the engine running, he quickly made his way down the narrow walkway on the side of the boat to help. When I backed up to get out of his way, the boat's outdoor bench hit me right behind my knees. Instantly, I flipped backwards and fell down into the boat. Have you ever had that dreadful feeling when you've unexpectedly lost your balance and you're free-falling with no control over where or how you'll land? That's how it was for me. As I was falling, I distinctly remember time slowing and my body feeling totally relaxed. I didn't try to do anything. I just relaxed. I landed with a thump, flat on my back on that pesky bench with my legs, arms, and head still in the air. Somehow, I'd avoided falling into the water or banging my head or elbows on either the narrow bench or the table. Immediately, I jumped up and quickly checked all my body parts. Relieved to discover I was relatively unscathed, I assured Bill I was basically fine, and to prove it, quickly hobbled through the cabin to the unattended wheel. There, I did my best to keep the stern of our boat close to the other boat. Somehow, Bill did manage to cast us off all by himself. Still no sign of life from the other boat, very unusual, and came back inside to take the wheel. Since there was nowhere to moor other than the boat where we'd just been, he turned our boat around and headed for the open lock a few yards away. Ducking through the side door next to the captain's seat, I cautiously used the outside rails to pull myself forward to the bow. As the captain drives the boat into the lock, the first mate gathers the bow rope and holds it out so the lock keeper can hook it, loop it around the post at his level, and then return the end to the crew. As I hung on to the bow rope, Bill carefully maneuvered the boat further into the lock, thankfully without colliding with the concrete sidewall. Once we were in position, he repeated the process with the lock keeper with the stern rope. When the lock gates closed and the water quickly lowered, the two of us carefully let the ropes run out to ensure the boat remained level. Once the lock gates opened, we immediately pulled both ropes aboard. Relieved, we slowly moved out of the lock, heading back to our home port marina. We'd both had enough boaty adventures. Perhaps it was because I was so relaxed as I was falling that I had so little physical damage from the fall. However, I firmly believe I was divinely guided and assisted to relax so I could land square on my back on that bench, get up, and immediately continue with my first mate duties. As far as I'm concerned, it was a miracle to have a potential disaster so neatly averted. A stiff and sore lower back and tailbone did remain with me until the last 2 days of our trip as a great reminder of how blessed I'd been through the whole incident. As I reached this point in my post, I remember the Akashic Records saying that part of the reason for this post was to share with you my miracle, so hopefully you may more easily open to the miracles waiting for you. Now I also understand that telling this story, living through it again in precise detail so I could share it clearly with you, has also served me. My records tell me that because of the necessity of getting through the lock and then learning how to pilot our boat to give Bill some brief rest breaks that day, it never occurred to me then, nor during the rest of the trip, to request any healing. So I'm pausing here and asking the Divine to remove first any shock and then any trauma related to the incident from all my levels of being, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. I close my eyes and place my hands on my heart center as I breathe and relax. When I feel that's complete, I ask the Divine and my healing team to heal and release any residual damage to my body that it may still be carrying. While I feel a focus of energy in my lower back and buttocks, I'm also aware of a subtle shifting and releasing throughout my entire body as I reintegrate into what is my natural alignment. I thank my angels and the Divine for the miracle of minimizing the damage from the experience. I also thank my records for guiding me to write this post. I wonder how much sooner I could have started feeling normal if I'd done this the day it happened. This kind of self-care is just one of the reasons I'm so grateful to know how to access my records. Even if it does take me weeks to remember, this help is available to me. Side note, the week before the river, I'd opened my records before our first attempt to climb Mount Brandon. I requested their guidance and assistance as we began the pilgrimage trail so many had walked over the past 2,000 years. Slowly and laboriously, I made my way up that rocky, steep incline, slick with rain and liberally sprinkled with sheep dung. After climbing for barely a quarter of a mile, I heard my records clearly say, "Stop now. You are not strong enough to safely make this trek. Go back and wait for Bill to come back down. You have not failed. This is Bill's journey, not yours." With relief, I told Bill I would wait back at the grotto for his return. As I sat on the Faja grotto bench for the rest of that afternoon, journaling and anxiously watching Bill progress higher and higher until he finally disappeared from view, I was so grateful for the timely and appropriate guidance from my records. I wish I'd also had them open the morning we cast off from Athlone, so they could have helped me find a safer way through that experience too. So, whether you're sitting at home, quietly reliving your travels as you write a story, or you're working your way through a mangled relationship, whatever the situation, your Akashic Records can be very helpful and loving companions. To be continued. There's a part two and a part three. And if you'd like to check out the possible past life or ancestral connections to exotic locations with me as your Akashic facilitator, then click on the links at the end of this article to set up a private session or to learn to access your own records so you can request healing from your records without leaving home. And if you're inspired, just post a comment, it's easy. Just scroll down to the bottom of the article. I'd love to hear about your experience of this Akashic Inspiration. I personally reply to every comment, even if it may take me a while. Till next time, radiance and love, Sandra.